One of the biggest causes, I believe, of us falling back into sin or a sin pattern, one of the biggest causes for that is one simple word I want to talk about today, and that is frustration. How many of you believe that you're going to make it through this whole coming year without encountering one frustration in your life? Well, that's a joke. I mean, you're going to encounter many frustrations, and since this day represents the days of unleavened bread, coming out of sin, putting sin out of your life, I'd like to talk about today frustrations, which I believe is one of the biggest causes of us falling back into sin. Frustrations are temporary obstacles that can be overcome, not though by eliminating them, but by persevering through them. Actually, the word frustration means dissatisfaction, a feeling of disappointment, exasperation, or weariness caused by goals being thwarted or desires unsatisfied. In other words, you have something you're hoping for, something you're trying to accomplish, something that you want to do, and these desires that we have are simply not satisfied, and that's where the frustrations come from. In fact, in Proverbs 13 and verse 12, it will say, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Now, you know, on one hand, when the desire comes, you know, well, we can handle that. But it is in these areas that where we are exasperated, disappointed, because desires are unsatisfied. Now, the many faces of frustration are, you know, you may feel baffled, you may feel counseled, crippled, defeated, disappointed, dissatisfied, neutralized, or undermined. Frustrations empty you, confuse you, undercut you, make you feel like you were so close. Oh man, I was so close to getting this right, and yet so far away. And I want to look at today several of frustrations that we go through. One is would be what I call the futility of hard work. I don't know if there's anything that frustrates me more than the futility of hard work. Micah 6 and verse 15 will say, "You will sow your grain, but not harvest the crop. You will press oil from olives, but never get to use it. You will make wine, but never drink it." In other words, we work hard for something and it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen. There's almost an endless vicious cycle that goes on, that everything you do in life, it has to be done over and over and over, this vicious cycle. It's never ending. I was talking to my wife, and Teresa, and I said, you know, all it would take is two winters like we've just had, you know, because it's been a rough winter here, you know, and you wouldn't, if you didn't pick up, straighten up, you know, cut up the limbs, you'd ride by my home and not be able to find it. If we just had two winters where you didn't do anything, just let it go, you know, it would be totally destroyed, the place that I live. And so, you know, but this is one of the most biggest causes of my frustrations is what I call the futility of hard work. The fact that you have to do things over and over and over again. But we have to understand, we have to, in order to deal with frustrations, we have to identify what causes the frustrations and then come up with a game plan. Because again, one of the biggest causes of falling back into sin is not dealing with our frustrations. You know, so I think of the futility of hard work, you know, I have to ask myself the question, is this really that important? So what if the thing falls all to pieces? You know, am I putting too much emphasis on the material things and keeping things nice? You know, we have to deal with the cause of our frustrations and then come up with a game plan. In Job 10 and verse 18, he will say, "Why did you take me out of the womb? I wish I had breathed my last breath before anyone laid eyes on me. Then it would be as if I had never existed, as if I had been carried from the womb to the tomb." Boy, you know, that's an expression, from the womb to the tomb. You know, but we all know what Job was going through. Job, you know, pain and suffering brings frustration in our lives. And you know, I don't know, I mean, I feel pretty good right now, but I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of physical pain you're going through, but I do know this. If you are encountering any type of, whether it's a back problem, whether it's something that nags at you that won't go away, if you're going through this, you know, then this is pain and suffering brings frustration into our lives. And again, one of the biggest causes of us falling back into sin is frustration. So we have to come up with a game plan. You know, and I don't know what it is. You may have to visit, you may want to visit your doctor. Your doctor may be able to give you something that can ease the pain. You may, you know, come up with some type of a natural remedy or something, but you need to deal with this thing, you know, that's causing the frustration in your life. In Psalms 94 and verse 3, it will say, "How long, O Lord, will wicked people triumph? How long?" You know, you look around you and you see all the evil that is in the world. And the truth of the matter is, you should be frustrated when the wicked triumph. I mean, that should bring about frustrations. But you have to find a way to deal with it. You have to find a way to deal with it. Because again, one of the biggest causes of falling back into sin is not dealing with our frustration. You know, you look at the world around you, you look at the evil that is around us, and, you know, we have the hope of the kingdom of God. You know, that's one thing that can ease our frustrations. Or, you know, a lot of times when we see wicked triumph, we need to come up with an outlet, how to counter that, the evil that is in the world. You know, Sandy, he is always sending me emails where he's writing to his congressman. He's writing letters, sending emails, talking about this corrupt decision, this evil decision that our government has made. And that's one of the outlets that he has for combating this when wicked people triumph. He's doing something about it to relieve that frustration in his own personal life. You know, another means of frustration can be your job, where you work at. In Exodus 17 and verse 4, it says, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, and he said, 'What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me.'" You know, I don't know. I'm frustrated at my work from time to time, but I've never had anybody trying to kill me. You know, it's pretty hard to love your way. You know, I don't even think Moses liked his work. How could you like it when people are trying to kill you? But this can be one of the greatest sources of frustrations. Now, I don't know what your options are. I guess you could quit. But I don't know which would bring the greater source of frustration. You know, to quit and not have any money, or just to deal with the frustrations that you have at work. But again, you have to identify the cause of these frustrations and deal with them. A question: does God ever cause frustrations? Well, in Job 5 and verse 12, it says, "He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise of anything of lasting worth. He catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemer is brought to a quick end." Yeah, you know, I sometimes think that God can cause frustrations. And, you know, if you're, I hope this don't describe you, but if you are a schemer, trickiness, if that describes you, crafty. Now, I've met people like that in God's church who were all three of those things: trickery, crafty, schemer. But, you know, but it says that God will frustrate this person. But there's another concept that I want us to consider when I ask the question, does God ever cause frustrations? In John 6 and verse 5, it says that Jesus saw a large crowd coming to him. Now, let's define what a large crowd is. To me, a large crowd is 20 people, but this was this large crowd was 5,000 people. And Jesus said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, it continues on in verse 6. It says, "Jesus asked this question to test him. He already knew what he was going to do." Now notice this. We ask the question, well, does God ever cause frustrations? And here, you know, Jesus said, "Peter, how are we going to feed these 5,000 people?" Excuse me, Philip. Is Philip Howard going to feed these 5,000? And Philip answered, said, we would need about a year's wages to buy enough bread for each of them to have a piece. Now, you can just hear the frustration in Philip's voice. Now, again, this was like a little small test for Philip. Now, here's the point. Recognize that some of our problems don't even have a human solution. In other words, we must take them to God. A lot of our frustrations don't even have a human solution. And you know, more frustrations exist because we're trying to fix things that don't even have a human solution. You know, one day we're going to meet God and God's going to say, I was amazed at how many years you spent trying, how much frustrations you encountered trying to fix something that didn't even have a human solution. You needed to come to me. I was the answer to this thing. It didn't have a human solution. All right. Okay. There's four words. The grace of God. In fact, Paul will say, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know, the grace of God is just the opposite of frustration. It really is. And if you want to measure the grace of God in your life, just ask yourself, how much frustration do you have going on in your life? If you've got a lot of frustration going on in your life, your grace is running on empty. It really is. And again, like I said, one of the biggest causes of falling back into sin is because you're empty on grace. And the way you find out about the grace of God in your life is you ask yourself, how much frustrations do I have going on in my life? Am I a frustrated man, woman, whatever? How much do I have going on in my life? When we get frustrated with life, that's a sure sign, you know, that it's all about you. It really is. In fact, you know, not getting our own desires fulfilled, you know, that's what causes frustrations. And so when we get frustrated with life, that's a sure sign it's all about me. You know, I want to talk about me, what I like, what I want, what I see. You know, just recently I was telling Ronnie about some frustrations that I had. We took Rebecca to this OM meeting. OM stands for Odyssey of the Mind, and I'm really not into that very well. It's for smart people. I guess that's why I don't understand it that well. But this Odyssey of the Mind, it was a out of town, and we took her there, and I guess because I wasn't into it that much, didn't quite get it or understand it that well, I was getting a little bit frustrated. And then at the end of the day, someone came up with a grand idea of going out to eat. Now, I want to tell you something. What I would rather, and this is a group of about 30 people wanting to go out and eat at a restaurant. I want to tell you something. I would rather be put place before a firing squad than to go out with a big group of people to eat. I mean, I just cannot. I don't understand American restaurants. I really don't, you know. You go into a typical restaurant, you've got, you know, probably 30 big screen TVs on the wall, all with on a different channel. You know, you're sitting there and you can't watch them all. You know, your head's spinning around like a, you know, trying to catch a little bit of each one. And then they've got speakers playing music that have to drown out the 30 big screen TVs. And then, of course, if you want to talk, you've got to scream loud enough to drown out the speakers, the stereo system, and the big screen TVs. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I was about to go nuts in this restaurant. I just couldn't take it. Now, I was telling Ronnie about this, my brother-in-law, and he said, you know, sometimes you need to just, you know, not just think of yourself, you need to, you know, sacrifice sometimes for the better of someone else, you know, like your daughter, your family, or whatever. And don't just always, you know, think about yourself. And I didn't like his advice, but he was right. He was absolutely right. When we get frustrated with life, usually that's a sure sign that you've gotten all wrapped up in your little world and yourself. And you need to realize when you're running empty on the grace of God in your life. Another thing I think is important about frustrations is practice diversity. You know, God is a diverse God. He didn't create everything the same. He all kinds of variety, you know. But sometimes in my personal life, I've gotten so involved with compulsively doing. I'm sort of a compulsive person. I compulsively do something, and there's no room for diversity. You know, when I do something, I just sort of, it's that one thing. And we should be able to drop this one thing that we feel is so important and go do something else that is just as important. That's what I mean by diversity, and we should be able to do that. So practice diversity, and you don't get so wrapped up in just this one activity, this one thing, because it can lead to incredible frustrations in your life. Now, questions to ask when we're frustrated. Number one, does this frustration have a human solution? It's the first question you want to ask. Does this frustration even have a human solution? Maybe God is testing me just to see how long it's going to take me to burn out. You know, it's like Philip. You know, Philip, how are we going to feed these 5,000 people here? He did it. He did that to test him. Second question: how, when you're frustrated, ask the question: how important is this? I mean, really, how important is this? You know, how important is it that you find that pink flamingo up in the attic with the broken leg, you know, the yard ornament? You know, you've been searching for it for about 2 months now. You know, how important is it that you find this pink flamingo with the broken leg? You know, you gotta find this thing. Third question, when you're frustrated, does God really care that much about this thing that's bringing me so much frustration in my life? Does God really care? And of course, maybe the way you answer that question is by asking the fourth question. Will this thing impact the world for better? Will it impact other people for the better? If so, then maybe this thing that's bringing you frustration, you ought to bear through it. But sometimes a lot of things that causes us frustrations, you know, God just really doesn't care about the thing. You know, it's just not that important. Now, the fifth question, when you're encountering frustrations, do you sense the grace of God in your life? Do you sense the grace of God in your life? Often, you know, if you do, you know, now there are times when I'm frustrated and I don't sense any hint of the grace of God in my life. And that's when I know, you know, I need to slow down. I need to reevaluate everything going on in my life right now because I don't even detect any grace of God. I'm just frustrated. There's other times, though, when I'm frustrated and there's a peace of mind within me. Often the grace of God gives us a new solution when we're frustrated. You know, you get frustrated when you run out of ideas, but when the grace of God is there, you know, often there's new solutions. There's another way out. There's something else you can do that will work. Number six, about frustrations. Am I doing the most important thing first? Now, one of the reasons we get frustrated is because often we don't do the most important thing first. And we get so far behind because we put all these other things in front, you know, the least important things. And we've taken care of them, but we get frustrated because we got all these important things that have built up and we don't have any time to do them. But we get frustrated when we don't, you know, am I doing the most important thing first? If you do the most important thing first, you're less likely to get frustrated in life. And the last question is, ask the question, what is my motive? You know, this thing that's bringing me this frustration in my life, what's really my motive here? I mean, do I have a motive? You know, that's an important question, but what is my motive? You need to know what your motive is, because if you don't have one, you probably shouldn't be frustrated. And if you have a proper motive, a good motive for doing this, then you need to bear under your frustrations and work through them. In James 4 and verse 3, it says this. It says, when you pray for things, you don't get them because you want them for the wrong reasons, for your own pleasure. Now, sometimes we are frustrated in our prayer life, expecting certain answers that never come because we had the wrong motive. In other words, sometimes we fail to see how God is protecting us from what will hurt us. You know, God sometimes says no, and we ask for the wrong motive things in prayer, and God says, you know, if I gave you that, that would kill you. You would get hurt, get your feelings hurt, you know, and all that. And you just, you know, you got the wrong motive here, and you're asking for things that really I can't, and I know is not good for you. All right. One of the biggest causes of falling back into sin is frustrations. A feeling of disappointment, exasperation, weariness caused by goals being thwarted or desires unsatisfied. I want to conclude with a scripture in Psalms 37 and verse 4. Psalms 37 and verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart." Notice this, God will give you the desire of your heart, and that eliminates frustrations, you know. So identify the cause of your frustration. And maybe next year at this time, we can say, you know, I've dealt with a major issue in my life as to why I have so often fallen back into sin. And I have learned to deal with my frustrations.